Christ alone. My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, his solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ. Here in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns, who calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns, or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns, or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Check. Welcome home, Hope on the Beach Church. What a beautiful morning we have here at Ed Willing Beach. We want you to know that you're welcome here today, and what a beautiful day to be in the presence of our Lord. If you will, find your little bulletin, and there's a few things we want to touch base with. Everything that you need to know today for this sermon and for this worship service is in here. And just feel free to thumb through it right now as we begin to, before we worship. And there is actually a connection card in there we want you to see and look over. And if you're here today and you have a need, feel free to write it down. Or if you have anything that you read through there that you want to participate in or check off, feel free to do so. And there's going to be an offering bucket that comes around later as we continue our worship after the service, at the end of the service. Feel free to drop that connection card in there. If you're online, there's also a bulletin online that you can download when you go to our services online in the little menu in the upper right-hand corner. Well, again, before we go into worship, I just want to say again, welcome. And we welcome you here today and just want you to experience Lord as we worship. Thank you.
So you can stand, sit, whatever you want to do. I'm standing here with a little bit of breeze and just in God's beautiful creation, and I'm reminded about something in Scripture. There's this beautiful Hebrew word. I could say the word. It may not mean anything to you, but the word is segula. And what that word means is special treasure. And God calls us His segula. He calls us His special treasure. We're made by a magnificent Creator. And for that reason, we rejoice. But sometimes we don't live up to that potential. And this morning, I want to praise God for that. The song's called Made for More. Would you sing that with me this morning? It goes like this. Now I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. Now I have a future, and it's worth living. Sing this out. And I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why would I make my bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is calling my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. And I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. And I have a future, and it's worth the living. I was made to be tending the grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why would I make my bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Let's praise the Lord in the hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, and I'm not going back. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, and I'm not going back. And I grave, I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why? So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is calling my way back? No, I is yours, and I was made for more. I know I am yours, and I was made for more. You called me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace surrounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fall and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Sing this out. Spirit, lead us. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. And so, Father, this morning as we open your word, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified, Father, and that we would leave changed because we've been in your presence, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
You may be seated. Thank you, Patrick. Beautiful way to start the day with songs of praise. Amen. Couple of housekeeping things before we get started. We usually have our men's breakfast at the first Saturday of the month. We are moving that because of Labor Day to the 12th. And then our life groups will start back on the week of the September 20th. Okay, I'm Christian Bolden. I'm the Director of Missions here at Hope. And it's not Mission Sunday, I know that's typically what you think whenever you hear a missions guy's going to come up here and talk, but what we have is a little bit different mindset here at Hope. Guess what? All of you are missionaries too, and you're going to hear about that through the word of Jonah today. So as we get started here, I got a little story to tell you. Ray, our pastor Ray here, about a while back when I first started preaching here, told me, he said, I was talking to him, he was coaching me through some things with bringing God's word. He said, hey, listen, I was critiquing myself, and he said, listen, he goes, Jonah is your bottom line that you have to worry about. You want to hear Jonah's sermon? He said, Jonah's sermon was, I hate you. I know God's merciful, and if I preach to you today that you're going to turn and follow the Lord, I'm out of here, I'm leaving, goodbye. So, my standard was, God still used Jonah through that. So between Jonah and the Sermon on the Mount, that's where I hope I land today, okay? Anyway, so going forward with this, we are in a series called the Storm Stories. This week, we're, again, going to be in the first chapter of Jonah. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see there we have the scripture for you. Or if you have your Bible, it's the whole first chapter of Jonah. So running into the storm is what we're going to see here today as we read through the scripture that Jonah did. So we're going to start here first in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. What we see here in Scripture is, Jonah was not confused about God's will here. He simply didn't like it, so he ran. So if you're taking notes today, the first point I have is, when Jonah flees God, he runs into a storm. So we all face storms, right? Some storms come because we live in a broken world. Some storms come through circumstances completely out of our control. Sometimes we create our own storms, don't we? But then there are storms that we run into because we're running in the wrong direction. Jonah's storm wasn't random. God gives Jonah a clear command. Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it. Instead, Jonah rose and went the opposite direction. It says Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. That city just sounds like it's full of cigarette or tobacco smoke. Tarshish. Anyway, from the presence of the Lord. Sometimes God calls us towards something uncomfortable, and we start looking for a ship headed in the opposite direction. Most of us aren't buying a ticket and trying to go to Tarshish, but we can still run. God says forgive, and we hold on to bitterness. God says stay, and we go. God says speak to someone, and we remain silent. God says surrender, and we try to maintain control. Sometimes in the situation, we convince ourselves everything seems fine. So maybe God's okay with all this. Jonah may have thought so too. I mean, let's say I'm running. I found a ship. I got money in my pocket for the boat fare, right? Maybe this assignment is okay for me to bail on. Let's just get on the boat and check it out. Hey, look, there's plenty of room on board. Let me walk around a bit. Oh no, ship's leaving the harbor. No turning back now. Whew, I made it, right? I'm on a cruise now. Time to chill. It's time to relax, and this assignment is canceled. I got my sign and sail card ready, excursions planned. hey, look, I can all you can eat ice cream. I ain't worried about what God wants me to do. I'm cruising, y'all. Then a storm came. Jonah's storm didn't come out of nowhere. It came because the assignment he was avoiding didn't go away because he hopped on a boat. Running from God is never a good idea. This storm was big, y'all. This big enough sailors are afraid. Big enough to break a boat apart. Let's check on these guys and see how they're doing here in Scripture. We're in verse 5 now. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to God, and to their God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us and that we may not perish." Let me tell y'all something right now, my Christian brothers and sisters, about having peace in the middle of crisis and chaos. People are going to notice. They may even come to you and pull you in their madness and say, "Hey, we're all in the red alert here. You need to be doing something too. You ain't going to be chilling around here like you're on a cruise. Your ice cream machine just went overboard. Panic with us." Another thing going on here, though, the direction of Jonah's life when he begins to run from God. Do you see it in Scripture? Let's see it. It says he goes down to Joppa. He goes down into the ship. He's about to go down overboard, then down through the throat of a fish, and down to the bottom of a sea. You see, every down in this chapter is almost a sermon of its own. Nineveh was the assignment that pointed up toward obedience, up towards mission, up towards the very heart of God for the nations. Tarshish pointed down, away from it all. When we run from God's call, we rarely stay in just one place. We descend. Number two, if you're taking notes, your actions affect others, especially when you run away. So if we're all standing here, let's say there's 10 of us standing around a pond. We're standing throwing little rocks in there. You see ripples, right? And as the pebbles get bigger, those ripples or waves start to happen. You take a big rock and you chunk it in there, those ripples turn into waves and they splash onto other people, right? Other people get wet. These sailors did not ask for this storm. They weren't the ones running from God. Jonah was. But they were the ones chunking cargo overboard, crying out to their own pagan gods in the middle of the night. What about the people expecting cargo even? They were affected also. Think about that. Your disobedience never stays contained to just you. Jonah's decision to run affected men who knew nothing about this mission trip to Nineveh. Every choice we make has ripples that may splash onto other people. But three, God's will always prevails. Let's see what's happening here on the boat again in verse 7 in your word or in your notes. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots. The lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account comes upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made this sea and dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Chapter 1 of Jonah makes one truth very clear. God's in control. Jonah runs. God sends the wind. The sea grows violent. Allow me to dip back a little bit back in verse 4, because there's three-letter word in there that God uses in Scripture here to show he's in control. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. That word but changes everything. Jonah ran, but the Lord. Jonah had a plan, but the Lord. Jonah boarded the ship, but the Lord. Jonah thought he was escaping, but the Lord. The lot falls on Jonah, but the Lord was still there. He's still in control. These sailors know now that God's in control, and they believe it too. Let's go back again in verse 11 and see what's going on with the sailors. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed harder to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, not the pagan one this time, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." For they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered sacrifices to the Lord and made vows. If you're taking notes, even when you run from the Lord, He can use you. Through Jonah's fleeing, these sailors encountered the living God. You never outrun your call. Jonah doesn't want to tell Nineveh about God. It's like, you know, football's about to start, so bear with me. If Jonah was walking around, he'd be wearing a t-shirt that says, "No love for Nineveh." So God put Jonah somewhere else, where people desperately needed to know him. Jonah is running from his missionary calling to Gentiles, and God is still using Jonah to reach Gentiles. God's mission was never actually dependent on Jonah's cooperation. It was only dependent on God. These sailors are converted. Listen to them. They believe in this Hebrew God now who created the sea. They witness His will in a very tactile way, right? They are now praying to Him in this story, offering sacrifices and making oaths. Listen, He will use any of His creation to bring His will into action. Verse 17, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights." Nothing in this chapter is outside God's authority. Watch creation through Jonah. God uses the wind. He uses the sea. He uses the storm. He uses a fish. Later on in Jonah, 3 other chapters, and I encourage you to continue to read it later. A plant, a worm, a scorching east wind. Thank you, Lord, for the cool wind. You see the wind, the sea, the fish, the plant, the worm. None of them have a will to bend. They simply do what the Maker says. Jonah is the only character in this book capable of saying no. Funny, in Jonah chapter 1, almost everything obeys God except Jonah. God says to the wind, "Go," it goes. God appoints a fish, the fish comes. God commands creation, creation responds. And that's why grace is important right here. Because the one creature made in God's image, given a will, uses it to run. Which direction are you running? Jonah chapter 1 forces us to ask a simple question of ourselves. Am I running towards God's will or away from it? Maybe you're running because you're afraid. Maybe you're running because you're angry. Maybe you're running because God's direction isn't the direction that you wanted. Our sinful nature wants God's blessings, right? But without God's authority? We want Jesus as our Savior while resisting Him as our Lord. Like Jonah, we can know exactly what God says and still choose the opposite direction. And sometimes we don't call it rebellion, do we? What do we call it? We call it being busy. We call it waiting. We call it wisdom. We call it needing more time. We are very creative at renaming rebellion so it doesn't feel like rebellion. We can even start to look at results instead of direction. We often believe our usefulness to God depends upon our performance. Or we think that our failures have ruined God's plans. So far from the truth. We love the idea of God's will until it conflicts with our will. Then we begin to negotiate. Guilty. We want God to bless our plans instead of surrendering ourselves to His will. Jonah teaches us something uncomfortable. God does not exist to accomplish our will. We exist according to His. Looking at this storm in Scripture, God could have simply let Jonah go. Instead, God pursued him. That's grace. The storm is judgment against Jonah's rebellion, but it's also mercy towards Jonah. God loved Jonah enough not to dismiss him when he ran. Ultimately, God pursued a rebellious sinner in a way more powerful than the storm. Now He sends Jesus. Jesus enters the storm of God's judgment against us. At the cross, Christ accepts what our rebellion deserves. And through His death and resurrection, we are forgiven of our rebellion. We don't come back to God because we handled that storm. God comes after us in Christ before, during, and after He pursues us. The law here shows us Jonah's storm and asks, whose storm is this? The gospel answers it. It's ours. But Christ walked into it in our place. He doesn't wait for us to swim back to Him. He came down from heaven, away from all His glory, down into the flesh, down into death, to reach us exactly where our stubbornness and our sin had taken us. God is greater than our failures. He doesn't need perfect people to accomplish His mission. Scripture is filled with broken people whom God redeemed, uses. Still, their storm is being told millennia later. It's revealing our hope is in Jesus Christ. He succeeds where we fail. He fulfilled the law in our place. Jonah was an unwilling messenger on this day, but Jesus willingly came for us. Jonah ran from the sinners. Jesus ran towards the sinners with arms pierced, bleeding, wide open. Jonah resisted God's mission. Jesus perfectly fulfilled His Father's mission. To God, using Jonah was never based on Jonah's willingness. Christ's righteousness became Jonah's covering, just as it is ours today. Jonah deserved judgment. Instead, God provided a fish. That fish wasn't Jonah's punishment. It became God's rescue. Jonah thought being thrown into the sea was the end. God said, I'm not finished with you yet. Jesus Himself later even points to Jonah in Scripture as a sign. His own death and resurrection, He says in Matthew 12:40. Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah, running from God, talked about millennia later. And here, Christ uses a picture What Jonah experienced as correction, Christ would later enter into voluntarily, sweating blood. 3 days in the heart of the earth for us. So the resurrection would be the last word over our rebellion. And our ultimate hope is not that God cleans up our messes. Our hope is in Christ. And Christ working through us to rescue our loved ones, our neighbors, our communities. Listen, I'm here answering a call in seminary with 2 hours of sleep. Feeling like I sound like a babbling idiot today. But here's the truth. You're all called. Please jump off the boat. God's got you. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Let us ask, where are you running from? What is it that God has clearly placed before you? If you are a disciple, or wait, should I say, you call yourself a Christian? Christ never called Christians. We weren't called Christians until Antioch. It was a derogatory. We're disciples. He calls disciples. So you're called too, just like Jonah. If there's something you already know God wants you to do, but do you keep looking in a different direction? What ship have you boarded hoping it will take you somewhere that God's voice won't follow? Stop running. Turn around. Repent. Bring the thing you've been avoiding into the light. You don't have to fix everything before returning to God. Return to the God who is already pursuing you. He will use you even in your rebellion like he used Jonah, running from Gentiles to save Gentiles in a different context. Stop waiting till you feel perfect, qualified, or completely ready and equipped. It's not your equipping. It's the Holy Spirit. Repent where repentance is needed. Receive Christ's forgiveness and love. Then take the next step God has placed in front of you. Your past does not have any authority over your future. Jesus does. Please, instead of praying, God, get me out of these storms. Sometimes our prayer needs to be, God, what are you doing in me through this storm? Where are you directing me? What do I need to surrender to? Where do I need to repent? Where are you calling me to trust you? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Just stop running. The message of Jonah 1 isn't simply stop running from God or he'll send a storm. The message is deeper. You cannot outrun God who pursues you with love and mercy, who cares for you. Jonah ran from God and found out that God was there on the ship working in the hearts of pagan sailors. He's working right now in us too. We're the ones who wandered. Jesus was the one who came looking for us. We are the rebellious ones now. Jesus was the obedient son. We deserve judgment. Jesus took our judgment upon himself. So when the storms come, we don't have to run away. We run to Christ because God's will prevails, period. And for those who are in Christ, that means the God who commands the wind, the waves, is also the God who has promised in Hebrews chapter 13, 5. I'll never leave or forsake you. It's amazing. Folks, we can run from God, but we can't outrun God. Even in our rebellion, God pursues us with love and mercy, and he still accomplishes his will. So as we leave out of here off this beach today, you can run from God's calling. You can run from God's direction. You can even try to run from God's presence. But you can't outrun his love and his grace, his mercy. So maybe the question isn't, how do I get out of the storm? maybe the question is, God, where are you calling me to go? To do? Who am I supposed to love and pour my life into? My neighbor, my loved ones, my community, they're all right here. Who's he called you to talk to? Let us pray. Lord, you are the God who is in control of the wind and can calm any sea. You're the God who never stops pursuing us with love and mercy, and even when we run the other way. Forgive us for the ships we boarded, Lord, the storms we caused, the people we've affected along the way. Forgive us of the calling we've tried to outrun. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus went down into the deep for us and rose again so that we have grace and love and mercy and not judgment. Turn our hearts toward wherever you're calling us to go, Lord, and give us the courage to arise and follow. We ask this in Jesus' name. And now we pray together as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot I'm hosting today too. So if you will, look again in your bulletins and you'll find that connection card. What I want to mention before you do, from this message, while you're listening to this music of worship and praise, I want you to search your hearts and say, I don't want you to leave here with any burden or heavy weight. And we have people here today that'll pray for you. And if you'll raise your hand and just show them who's here today willing to pray. Right here, we have people that are volunteers and willing to pray for you today. So please don't leave here without a prayer. Also, if you just feel like you'd rather write it down, all of these things you put in an offering bucket are going to be looked at and prayed for. There's a list Miss Almira comes by faithfully every week and puts it in front of us and makes sure we pray over it. So every prayer and every thought that you have on that connection card is going to be looked at and paid attention. So please, if you will, pass that around when the offering comes around. So if you will, someone's coming around right now as we continue to worship and receive our offering. Thank you.
Restore in me the joy of my salvation. Take me back to where it all began, where all I ever wanted was your presence. How I long for be there once again. Light the fire that the world can't burn out, fan the flame till nothing between us remains. My life is an altar to you. Breathe again on the embers that burn in my heart. A love taken back to the start. My life is an altar to you. Renew in me a pure and willing spirit. Take me back. Take me back to where it all began. Before it all became so complicated, how I long to be there once again.
Sing this out, light a fire.
Light a fire that the world can't burn out, fan the flame till nothing between us remains. My life is an altar to you. Breathe again on the embers that burn in my heart, a love taken back the start. My life is an altar to you.
Let's close with this. God, I'm sorry.
God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. For when I've gone cold, Lord, I need you. How I need you to awake my soul.
And Father, as we leave this place, God, I pray that you would just light a fire in us, God. It'd be a shame to open your word and not let it impact us, to move in us, to live in us. Your word is living and breathing. And so, Father, do a work in all these in attendance today, God. We do pray, Father, for everyone on the beach, God, today. I pray that your presence would be made known. God, thank you so much for these people serving on the beach, these beach attendants. God, I pray that you continue to be with them. Father, go with us today. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me close with the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. And all of God's people said, amen. You have a blessed day. If you